My brothers and sisters, I would like to represent all of us in expressing appreciation to the wives, the children, and the grandchildren of the First Presidency for all they do in supporting our beloved brethren. Life's most challenging questions seem to be those that begin with the word why. Why is life so hard? Why is there so much sorrow, hate, and unhappiness in the world? Why does death take the young? And why must the innocent suffer? We all have wrestled with such questions from time to time as we struggle with the vicissitudes of mortality. I particularly want to talk to the younger members of God's family about why I believe the only satisfying answers to such questions come from the comforting perspective of faith in our Heavenly Father and His eternal plan for our happiness. The prophet Alma called the plan the great plan of happiness. It is known more commonly as the plan of salvation. It is beautiful in its simplicity to all who seek prayerfully to know and understand the true meaning and purpose of life. Through prophets past and present, God has revealed the doctrines of His great plan of happiness. It consists of infinite, eternal, absolute, unchanging principles. From Alma we learn that God gave unto them commandments after having made known the plan of redemption. The plan teaches that all who have or will live on earth are the spirit children of heavenly parents. We lived with them before coming to this earth to receive our bodies of flesh and bone. If Adam and Eve had not transgressed, they would not have fallen, but they would have remained in the Garden of Eden, and they would have had no children, wherefore they would have remained in the state of innocence, having no joy. Adam fell that men might be, and men are that they might have joy. After the fall, God instructed Adam to cleave unto his wife Eve. God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth," a commandment that has never been rescinded. Our Father's plan provides for redemption from the fall through the atonement of Jesus Christ. As the only begotten Son of God and the only sinless person to live on this earth, He made a perfect atonement for all mankind. It applies to everyone unconditionally as it pertains to the resurrection from temporal or physical death. For all shall rise from the dead with immortal bodies as a result of the atonement. However, the atonement is conditional as it pertains to each person's individual sins. It touches everyone to the degree that he or she has faith in Jesus Christ, repents and obeys the gospel. Exaltation and eternal life with God is reserved for those who keep the commandments. Mortality, then, is a time to test our ability to understand our Heavenly Father's plan and, of course, our willingness to be obedient. Obedience is essential to obtain exaltation and eternal life. King Benjamin explained, "The Lord God hath sent His holy prophets among all the children of men to declare these things to every kindred, nation, and tongue, that thereby whosoever should believe in Christ, the same might receive remission of their sins and rejoice with exceedingly great joy." He also taught his people, "Consider on the blessed and happy state of those that keep the commandments of God. For behold, they are blessed in all things, both temporal and spiritual. And if they hold out faithful to the end, they are received into heaven, that thereby they may dwell with God in a state of never-ending happiness." What a wonderful, warm, and reassuring thing it is to know that the primary objective of the very God of heaven is the immortality and eternal life of man, or in other words, our eternal happiness and joy. Sometimes I wonder if we really appreciate what that means and how it should affect our lives. We must give adequate attention to the doctrines of happiness, real happiness, infinite and eternal. They should be the objective of everything we teach in the church and of everything we do. The prophet Joseph Smith said, "We cannot keep all the commandments without first knowing them, and we cannot expect to know all or more than we now know unless we comply with or keep those we have already received." We must understand the basic doctrines and receive the saving ordinances that are essential for our eternal exaltation and happiness. Our present mortal state places a veil of forgetfulness over our minds, allowing us to prove ourselves able to do all things whatsoever the Lord our God shall command. But even though our present long-range view of eternity is limited, the Lord has not left us without direction. He has provided scriptures and apostles and prophets through whom he has revealed his plan for our exaltation and eternal life. And we have the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, to guide us. The prophet Joseph Smith taught that in obedience there is joy and peace unspotted, unalloyed. And as God has designed our happiness, he never will institute an ordinance or give a commandment to his people that is not calculated in its nature to promote that happiness which he has designed, and which will not end in the greatest amount of good and glory to those who become the recipients of his law and ordinances. Close quote. Critical to our knowledge of the plan of happiness is an understanding of the great governing principle of agency. A person does not have to spend much time in the schoolroom of mortality to realize that Heavenly Father's plan does not provide for blissful happiness at every step along our mortal journey. Life is filled with harsh realities that tug at the heart and tear away at the soul. One cannot look at suffering, regardless of its causes or origins, without feeling pain and compassion. I can understand why someone who lacks an eternal perspective might see the horrifying news footage of starving children and man's inhumanity to man and shake a fist at the heavens and cry, "If there is a God, how could he allow such things to happen?" The answer is not easy, but it isn't that complicated either. God has put his plan in motion. It proceeds through natural laws that are, in fact, God's laws. Since they are his, he is bound by them, as are we. I recognize, for the purpose we mortals may not understand, the Lord can control the elements. For the most part, however, he does not cause, but he allows nature to run its course. In this imperfect world, bad things sometimes happen. The earth's rocky underpinnings occasionally shift and move, resulting in earthquakes. Certain weather patterns cause hurricanes, floods, tornadoes, and drought. Much adversity is man-made. Men's hearts turn cold, and the spirit of Satan controls their actions. In foreseeing the day of suffering in our time, the Savior said, "The love of men shall wax cold, and iniquity shall abound." Violence, immorality, and other evils run rampant on the earth. Much adversity has its origin in the principle of agency. We tend to think of agency as a personal matter. If we ask someone to define moral agency, the answer will probably be something like this: moral agency means I am free to make choices for myself. Often overlooked is the fact that choices have consequences. We forget also that agency offers the same privilege to others. At times we will be affected adversely by the way others choose to exercise their agency. Our Heavenly Father feels so strongly about protecting our agency that He allows His children to exercise it either for good or for evil. The plan of happiness is available to all of His children. If the world would embrace and live it, peace, joy, and plenty would abound on the earth. Much of the suffering we know today would be eliminated if people throughout the world would understand and live the gospel of Jesus Christ. We mortals have a limited view of life from the eternal perspective, but if we know and understand Heavenly Father's plan, we realize that dealing with adversity is one of the chief ways we are tested. Our faith in our Heavenly Father and His beloved Son, Jesus Christ, is the source of inner strength. Through faith, we can find peace, comfort, and the courage to endure. As we trust in God and His plan for our happiness with all our hearts and lean not unto our own understanding, hope is born. Hope grows out of faith and gives meaning and purpose to all we do, can give us comfort in the face of adversity, strength in the times of trial and peace when we have reason for doubt and anguish. By focusing on and living the principles of Heavenly Father's plan for our eternal happiness, we can separate ourselves from the wickedness of the world. If we're anchored to the correct understanding of who we are, why we are here on this earth, and where we can go after this mortal life, Satan cannot threaten our happiness through any form of temptation. If we're determined to live by Heavenly Father's plan, we will use our God-given moral agency to make decisions based on revealed truth, not on the opinions of others or on the current thinking of the world. For example, if we are moving into an era when the information superhighway will have the capacity to cut a wide path right into our homes. With fiber optic computer technology, it can link homes to an incredible assortment of messages and influences. This highway will be the conduit of information that will have the power to change our culture and thus our very lives. As we consider the importance of nourishing our intellects with the promising potential of superhighway resources, we must be ever cautious about the choices of programs and the impact of media in our lives. Those who understand our Heavenly Father's eternal plan for the joy and happiness of His children will be better prepared to make good choices as the information superhighway rolls across the world. The computer, television, satellite, microchip, and even the telephone all can bless and enhance our lives or can make them miserable. This is why making life's decisions based on our Heavenly Father's plan is so important. If we truly believe that we are His children and are here on earth to learn to live by faith, the teachings and the commandments of God and His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, we will make the choices that will qualify us to one day return to live in their presence. Understanding the gospel of Jesus Christ and following Him as our Savior and our Redeemer will influence every aspect of our lives, including all of our individual choices. Those who live according to Heavenly Father's eternal plan will not want to absorb any information that is illicit or untoward, nor will they destroy their spiritual sensitivity through immoral acts or the consumption of any harmful substances. Neither will they search for doctrinal loopholes to find reasons to challenge the ordained leadership of the church, nor tamper with the simple truths of the gospel. They will not attempt to justify any lifestyle that is contrary to the plan of happiness. If they do any of these things, they will never find the inner peace and joy that living the gospel brings. All of our Father's children can seek prayerfully to know who they are and can find real happiness if they obey God's commandments and endure to the end. President Howard W. Hunter said, "There is nothing sad or gloomy about a person who accepts the truths of the gospel and incorporates these principles in his daily living. God wants all of his children to be joyous and glad, and we can have this blessing if we are willing to keep his commandments and live by his word in all that we do." When the plan of our Heavenly Father is understood, the answers to life questions are found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. May we learn to accept with faith the doctrines and teachings of the gospel and accept the plan of salvation with believing hearts and minds. Always know, brothers and sisters, that the leaders of the church understand and accept the gospel plan and will defend it at all times and in all places. My testimony coincides with the testimony of the beloved Apostle John. "If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." May we search for the doctrines and commandments of the great plan of happiness. And when we learn them, may we embrace them willingly. By doing so, we will find lasting joy, happiness, and peace. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I leave you my testimony that the Lord's promise of peace comes from knowing and living the principles of our Heavenly Father's plan of happiness. May his peace and joy be with all of us, I humbly pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen."